216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. Baskin and Phelps still talking about the Browns, still just like where we're at in this quarterback situation, what this team needs to look like in the future, what you want. I mean, I'm not saying you want them to tank, but do you want them to tank so they'll have a higher draft pick? Because we've got a lot of season to go. What do you want to see? Who are you hoping emerges? Do you hope that they keep the roster intact? Do you want them to blow this thing up? Do you want to? There are a million different things to talk about when it comes to the Browns right now, and there aren't many good ones. That's the problem. But solutions can always be good. We're also going to talk to Anthony Castrovince coming up at noon as we dissect what we saw from the Guardians. We didn't even get a chance to really talk about them yesterday, so we'll talk some baseball coming up, the World Series coming up, and I can't wait till 1 o'clock. Greg Williams, former interim head coach of the Cleveland Browns, he'll join us. Well, he's doing Come Get Some with Greg and Blake on Big Play right now, the Williams family with their TV show there, their podcast. So we'll talk about that coming up, too, and we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if Greg's not too far away from getting back on the sidelines or getting back with the team. So we'll talk to him about that coming up here in a little bit. Again, 216-474-0092. I mean, you've kind of said what you need to say. I need to say what are you looking for the rest of the season then? I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
I don't necessarily think that DTR is the quarterback of the future of the team. I don't know that he's the quarterback of next year of the team. It might be Deshaun. I personally would like to see Jameis Winston play quarterback. And I like DTR. I do. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know that he's the guy. And, you know, are you looking for a quarterback for the next decade? Oh, that'd be ideal. But how about a quarterback for next year? Next 2 years, Jameis could be that guy. I think there's a better chance that Jameis could be that guy than DTR is that guy.
All right, Jim is in Cleveland. Hey, Jim.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I know, it's sad, isn't it? Do the Browns feel like they got ripped off by their fans because some bad apples, as was mentioned, booed Deshaun Watson's injury? Well, I got news for the Browns. They've been ripping us off since they came back to the league. This sport, these players sign up for this rough sport. They get paid. They get paid very well to play this rough sport. And they also get paid to handle everything else that comes with it. If they feel ripped off by a few fans booing, boo-hoo to them, they need to grow up. And this is just a big distraction, by the way, of how bad this organization is. They use these things to distract us away from the real problems. You know what? The only good thing about the Browns right now is that they're getting a new stadium. And that's all I really have to say.
All right, Jim, thank you. Appreciate it. I thought Rodney McLeod said something. I did get a chance to listen to some of the interview from this morning. Rodney McLeod said something, Jeff, and I thought of us immediately on this.
Oh, good.
And he talked about how the players don't have a chance to interact with the fans. And I thought to myself, I'm like, when I was a kid, there were all kinds of opportunities to interact with the players. You know, whether they were, you know, during training camp, like you see how things have changed, how things became corporate on a lot of this stuff. The guys that were heroes to us when we were young here in Northeast Ohio, they were, unless I'm just distorting this because I want to, but I always kind of felt like they were a part of the community. When you would go to training camp, and training camp was here, and you had the chance to see these guys during training camp, I think there was a difference there. It gave the guys a connection to being a part of the city. I think about going to Lakeland, or I think about going to Kent when they would have training camp out there, and those guys were real life, and the only thing that separated you from them as a fan was just a thin piece of wire, right? A rope that would say, hey, can the fans please stay on this side of the line? And I always felt like those guys were a part of our community. You would hear little things here, little things there. And I thought when Rodney said that today, I thought that was kind of sad. He's like, we don't really get a chance to interact with the kid because everything's so organized and everything's so corporate. And we got to make sure we get a corporate banner up behind this. Otherwise, it's not, you know what I'm saying? Well, we were talking to Gary Barnage the other day, right? Was he on our show? I couldn't remember if that was the pregame show. And Gary was talking about, you know, doing those movie giveaways where he had the opportunity to, you know, have the fans come to. No one does that. No one does that. So when we get into situations like we see from Sunday, there's a separation between team of players that represent city of Cleveland and people here in Northeast Ohio, and that wear the jerseys that say it, and the people that are actually here 24/7 that are going to be here for years or want to be here and are here because they love the city. And so there's a disconnect there, and I felt bad for Rodney when he said it, because I think the players that are here now, the alumni that I see and I still talk to, they are 100% just entrenched in our community. They are part of the fabric of who we are. And, you know, when you see a Dick Ambrose out on the street, you're like, hey, man, that's Bam Bam. And
hey, man, shouldn't you be sentencing someone to prison?
I think he's past that now.
Oh.
I think he's done doing that. But or if you see a Dan Fike or a Greg Pruitt or those other guys, that's why, you know, we talk about this pre-99, post-99 sometimes, and why there's a disconnect. Because there are a lot of players that had success here when they played here, and they became a part of the community. And when Rodney said that they don't have the chance to interact with fans, I kind of felt sad for him, because he's not really getting a chance to know us, or the players don't get a chance to know us. We just hear them in press conferences, and we go through that. All right, I'll take more phone calls. I'll get off my soapbox. Andy's in Berea. Hey, Andy, how are you?
That was beautifully said, Andy.
Thank you.
You know, yeah, you're right. There is, because I don't see Deshaun staying here. You know, when his career's up here, he's not Clevelander. You know, he's in and out. But no, with the answer to the question from before with the, you know, remainder of the season, what we want to see. I just want to see, you know, now that Deshaun is not there, what is the fancy going to do? Can he repeat? Obviously, not to the same level of success as last year, but can he repeat that same type of magic with five different quarterbacks and making it to the playoffs and all that jazz? And I just want to see what he can produce now that maybe the square peg in the round hole that was Deshaun, you know, is not there anymore.
Fair enough, Andy. Thank you.
Let me give you some numbers. You ready?
Okay, go for it.
With Deshaun Watson as the quarterback of record. In other words, I don't count the Colts game that they won after he left.
Right.
With, you know, like after what? A couple of plays or whatever it was.
Right.
In his 3 years here, the Browns in Deshaun's games have a record of 8-10. That's a winning percentage of .444. With other guys at quarterback in the last 3 years, the Browns have a record of 11-12, or a winning percentage of .478. So the Browns have actually been slightly better with other people at quarterback, for whatever that's worth. The only thing I think it's worth is that it shows that Kevin Stefanski can make things work with other people at quarterback. So let's see what happens here in the last 10 games. I'm not expecting, you know, any playoff push or anything like that. That's not happening. But don't be the least bit surprised if the offense looks better with whoever's at quarterback and they win some games.
Nate, West Salem. What's up, Nate?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, Andy, you were asking earlier, you know, what does the rest of this season, you know, what does it look like? And to me, the rest of the season looks like shed payroll, increase picks.
Right.
And the reason why is I disagree with Mary Kay. I think we're in the need for a deep rebuild. We have, if you actually go position by position and really look at each, especially on offense, but even on defense, we have so many holes, not only on starters, but backups, that I think the only way we do this is go through a 3 or 4 year rebuild, which is actually quite fine, guys, because guess what? We're the worst team in the AFC North, and we're not catching Baltimore or Burrow down in Cincinnati or even Pittsburgh. We might as well use these 3 to 4 years to get young, get cheaper, and then build ourselves up to when those teams are starting to fade, we're ready to rock and roll. And if, you know, I don't want to trade Miles. I don't want to trade future Hall of Famers because I want them to go into the Hall wearing our colors. But I think you'd have to ask Miles if he would be up for a rebuild, because we're heading for rebuild whether we like it or not.
There's a Joe Thomas feel to that, isn't there, Nate? It feels that same way, too. I totally agree. Nate, thank you. Let me get one more in. Cool Ray Bedford. Go ahead, Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, fellas? First, I'm going to say I respect your show so much, it's not even funny. So, but I agree with you. But the one thing that you said with your analogy was, is respect. That's what's missing nowadays is respect for the players, and we know it. Like, this is not like, and what I want to see done to this team, and I've been calling it for the rest of the season, it's time for, I know, Jeff, you love the guy. It's time for him to go. I don't want this regime.
Wait, which guy?
Stefanski.
Okay, keep going. Just making sure.
I just think he's a good coach.
I think he's a. I think he was a good coordinator who was given a coaching job who's completely failed this team. Now, I'm going to say this like this.
He was only a coordinator for 1 year, by the way.
I don't want this court, this regime picking another draft pick. The caller just said it. He said rebuild. Then it took 20 years for them to rebuild and to build up talent. And now look, we had talent and we can't get anywhere with the talent. And now everybody's blaming one person for the loss instead of saying, well, listen, this is what's happening. I don't want another pick picked by this GM or this coach unless you get an established coach here and established GM here to make these picks, because it's not going to matter what we pick if you don't pick the right talent or if you have an offensive coordinator slash coach who feel like someone should fit his system instead of him adjusting to the talent that he has.
Corey?
This is what we're looking at.
Yep. Well said, Corey. I understand what you're saying. Appreciate the perspective as well. So, all right, let's come back. I want to change gears. Like, we need a break from Browns, don't we, Jeff? You feel that?
Oh, sure. Well, right. Especially since we had a team that almost made it to the World Series.
All right, let's do that. Yeah. Let's bring in Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com. We'll talk baseball next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.